Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
This is a Lip Media podcast.
We acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which we are recording. We pay our respects to their elders, past and present, and the Aboriginal elders of other communities who may be listening today.
So welcome to the after show, welcome. Rich people.
Money, money, money.
Thanks for your support. And speaking of money, Israel Folau.
Oh, he needs some.
Apparently. So we talked about the Israel Folau case. We thought that would be the end of it. We hoped be the end of it. Just a little recap for anyone that might have missed that episode. So Israel Folau is a rugby player in Australia of Islander descent, is a Christian by faith.
Yes.
And there are some absolutely wonderful Christian people.
Absolutely.
And he is not one of them. So he posted on Instagram a very tacky meme, which Christians are really good at finding.
Like the really blurred out, pixelated. Shit house.
You know, it's always like a picture of God or footsteps down the beach, and it's like, oh, God was here or something.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He was carrying me.
So he posted one saying, I think it was adulterers, drinkers, and, you know, a whole list of people, which basically covered everyone.
And
homosexuals will go to hell.
You're all sinners.
I mean, beach party.
I'm looking
like
forward to
great
it. Rugby Australia asked me to take it down because they obviously are trying to become quite progressive, as a lot of sports organisations are, which I'm really impressed by. The AFL,
we've talked
about in our last live show, actually. We talked about the AFL and the wonderful steps that they're taking to try and make sport a more inclusive space for people. Asked him to take it down because it was a breach of their social media policy. He refused to take it down. It became quite public, and eventually he was sacked from the rugby.
And, the ball game.
Anyway, so we talked about it. That was sort of where it was finished last time. Now, since then, the Prime Minister has weighed in.
Of course he is
very much siding with Israel Folau. These religious freedoms act that they're trying to pass, or that they're talking about, they're working on the bill at the moment.
Yeah.
The Prime Minister and the right wing, far right wing, are using Israel Folau, I believe, as a poster boy for this.
For sure. Yeah.
And it's become a bit of a scary conversation, and it's really become a lot more than just Israel Folau. So Israel's now since launched,
relaunched
a new one
on a different side. Oh, really?
Got $100,000 from the Australian Christian Lobby as an initial pledge. Now, that's donations that people have made to the Australian Christian Lobby, which we should be very clear is separate to the Catholic or Christian Church, but is a Christian organisation in Australia that is supposed to promote the beliefs of all Christian people.
So that's not when you put the money in the thing that goes around.
So when you put money in the thing at church, part of it goes to the local parish, part of it goes to the Vatican, you know, it goes...
And part goes to Israel for that.
Now it does.
So yes, and they've raised literally millions of dollars which is disgusting because Israel Folau was already on a $4 million a year contract.
Like, so he's not doing that.
Several properties in very affluent areas, I believe has a yacht, has several very expensive cars, is a very wealthy man and does not need money for legal fees. And this,
no. Well, he was defending it being like, but my lawyers like cost $1 million.
Yeah, I was like, well...
There's also been some law experts that have gone on the news and said there is no way that this course... Because he was aiming for $3 million. Yeah. And then all these legal experts were saying there's nothing
binding him to actually using it for that.
No, that's the
so he could literally just go on a fucking holiday if he wanted.
But again,
bye guys, get some
we're getting away from the point. The point is, no one is looking at Israel Folau and thinking, there's a man in need. I need to give him money to defend his beliefs. people are looking at him going, I'm pissed off because of the results of the marriage equality survey, and he's being used as a poster boy to fuel this is a backlash to the rights that we as gay men, but also the rest of the LGBTI community have gained over the last several decades. And they're I think looking at this as, if I put money towards this, it'll piss off the LGBTI community.
It's an ideological support.
It is. That's the way of saying it.
It's less about the person, because to be honest, I don't know how many white male members of the Australian Christian lobby actually care about a Brown Brothers sporting career. Yeah. But it is all ideological in that this stands for something else for them.
Yeah. Mm.
It's almost frustrating because it's the one topic we can't stay ahead of.
Yeah.
Like, we record this every week, and it feels like this could be a topic on the show every week.
Yeah, it's constant.
Because something stupid happens with it. Like the day after we record.
Yeah.
And I think it's kind of disgusting that it's hit this really topical soft spot for a lot of people, because obviously when it comes to people of color in this country, we want to support them as best we can.
Yeah.
And also the arguments about where did these religious beliefs and ideals come from within that culture in the first place.
Yeah.
Which is colonial.
Yeah, full circle. Which
is Jesus. So it's kind of like a maze you can get trapped in if you're trying to get yourself on the moral right. It's like supporting Kim Petras.
But it's a hard thing to talk about is his background, because I don't want to say that people from certain areas and certain beliefs are wrong. And when this conversation first started, he said that, well, if you're going to tell me off being a Tongan with religious beliefs, there's a lot of people in the rugby league that have the same, that are from my background, that have the same beliefs.
But it's not about like having religious really beliefs.
Nice. No, it's not. But but also, you know, people from beliefs. But it has been nice to see a lot of people from different backgrounds in the rugby league come out and support us and say, we just want to know we're not on side.
And when GoFundMe shut him down, that was like such a nice...
Yeah. And some of those people are also religious people, but they're like, we believe in our religion, but we don't believe that you're going to hell.
You get beautiful religious people who practice Christianity in the right way and love all. And then you get these people that just focus on weird aspects of the Bible and get really like locked down into it and use these horrible platforms to spread their hate. And it's so enraging. And you lose sight of it because you kind of like, I mean, us guys in Melbourne, we like live in this bubble, and
we do.
Like, I fully forget that this happened. Like, and then there are all these kind of maybe like country people and like all these other Christians. Well, like, I feel like a lot, like in the country, there's a lot of like really heavily religious people.
There is, and rural areas.
You forget that outside of Melbourne,
And I think what we need to be focusing on this story is not so much Israel Folau, but why
is this happening?
Why is he being the poster boy? And it is the Australian Christian lobby.
Yeah.
They saw his first attempt fail. They jumped on board with it. Now, this is a very successful lobbying group in Australia.
Yeah.
I don't know what the comparison is for overseas, but but they're a right-wing Christian group, and they pretend to be all about all Christian beliefs. There was a really interesting graph when they first sort of became quite prolific in the political scene that somebody put together in 2012 when they first were becoming quite prolific. And he went through every single press release that they'd released.
Yeah.
Now, these people say, oh, we're not homophobic, we just believe in God. So you would think, well, that means you probably talk about all of God's
issues. My mum says equally. That all the time. I know what that is.
So he went through every single press release that they released in the year 2012.
Yeah.
120 of them were LGBTI issues.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The next highest number was human trafficking that had 21. Foreign aid was the next one at 18 press releases on foreign aid.
Yeah.
Two on abortion, drugs and alcohol, the homeless, atheism, asylum seekers, all got one press release each, and the LGBTI community got 140. So that sort of gives you an idea of what this lobby is really about.
Yeah.
And it's not it's good sort stuff. Of scary to see how much influence they have over our...
It's so scary.
They had such a big influence in the last election that we had, because like prior to Scott Morrison coming to power and becoming our Prime Minister, it was very obvious that Labour were going to win. And then sort of within the last few months, they really campaigned. They put out leaflets, they did marketing online.
And a lot of misinformation. Well, not even misinformation, lies.
But they just target people.
It was lies, that's it. Yeah. They sort of twisted the information.
They have the money to print shit.
They know who to target.
There were a bunch of schools up in the Northern Queensland that they put out leaflets pamphlets to the parents being like, you need to vote for the Liberals because of this and that. And it was just like, just
and it's scary that they have so much influence. So yeah, I found statistics about Christianity. Obviously, Australia, after white settlement, was settled as a Christian country. Mm-hmm. And now laws are settled on Judeo-Christian beliefs and that sort of thing. Yeah. We've evolved a lot over time. Yeah, I didn't realize how much the numbers have changed in the last few decades. Yeah. So 1966 census, 88% of Australians identified as Christians, which is understandable.
Absolutely.
I would have thought it wasn't much less than that.
Yeah.
1991, it was 74%. Mm-hmm. 2016, 52% Christians.
Yeah, I saw that statistic, and I wonder how many of those people actually like practicing Christians.
Yeah.
Or they just marked down.
So, so I mean, my parents put down Christian. I asked them, they put down Christian, but that's because they were baptized Christian, and when they were kids,
they're not going to church.
So even, there's even less than that. Yeah. So then you've got to look at, so why is this company, or why is this, well, it is a company really, but why has this organization got so much clout, and it's the money they've gotten, and because they're a charity, they've got anonymous donors that don't have to say. Yeah. So we don't know really where their money's coming from, but it's pretty scary.
I find it terrifying that with someone in power has such heavy Christian or like religious beliefs and they use that to dictate their decisions. Mm. I mean, it sounds stupid, but I mean, I've just recently gotten into The Handmaid's Tale, and it honestly doesn't seem like that far off.
That's
like,
really? Fucking, I've not watched it.
I've just like, it's, I started season one, and it just, it's very scary.
I mean, I think that's
not
the concept
that
it's
far.
Playing on.
Yeah, it's very scary. Yeah. Like,
I think in Australia we have a perceived culture and we have a actual culture. And whenever we discuss things like this, or when I talk about this stuff with my friends, I think this is a big issue, especially for people of our generation, is that we have a perception of what the cultural mass of Australia thinks and believes and puts their votes and money behind, but it doesn't necessarily reflect and line up with what votes get tallied at the end of the day and how people are actually voting. Mm. You'll ever see season 6 of Angel where he time travels and he has, I think, a baby with his own mother who then ends up becoming an alien god that brainwashes the whole world.
Anyway,
that's besides the point. It just reminds me a bit of that, is where we walk around thinking we're in this liberal kind of cool, trendy, free-thinking, supportive environment, but the votes and the people in power and the people that have the money doesn't necessarily reflect that and the issues that we have.
It's interesting that you bring that up, because I was chatting with...
About Angel, you mean?
No, no, I was chatting with my fiancé's, his brother's boyfriend, who's from America, and he was saying that, like, when I was first introduced to Australia, I thought it was this really liberal place, and then I moved here to be with Joe, and he was just like, I didn't realize until I got here how racist and how, like, religious that this country is. Like, I've not faced so much discrimination anywhere besides moving to Australia, but it's very quietly those
because
things.
That's not the perception
that we put out there.
That we have, because if we're going to look at statistics, I even saw today, like in the history of Australia, the number of times that the Labour Party has been in power is just like minuscule. And you said before, it was like, your words before was like, it was very obvious that Labour was going to win.
That's it.
But that's a perception
because
of the culture that you're a part of and the perception that you have of this country.
But it was also a very fairly good estimate because of the results of the marriage equality survey and that sort of thing. Like, we sort of felt like we were going in the right direction.
I think
the interesting thing from that statistic I said before, which is in 2016, only 52% of people identified as Christian.
Mm.
And as we've said, even less of those people are practicing Christians.
Yes.
Mm. It's actually not about who is a Christian. It's the Christian lobby has all of this money and it is so good at spreading this information that they put stuff out there that actually they don't put the Australian Christian lobby on these flyers. And they don't put information out there specifically just trying to propaganda basically for the right wing that is not necessarily based on Christian beliefs or even identifies as Christian flyers or websites or social media accounts and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, it's like when you get an email from the bank and you click on it, but it's actually coming from like Joe at...
It's like, so give us all your details and full name.
And what really fucking... Sorry, I'm talking a lot, but I get... No, the Christian lobby is really one of my... Oh, I hate them so much. What really fucking shits me about them and the way that they talk about us and the entire LGBTI community is the way that they compare our suffering. Mm. So organizations like the ACLU's religious freedom or freedom of speech bullshit as if to compare what they're going through or what Israel Folau's going through as if it's what we're going through. And it's like, no, like our history of suffering is like being hunted by the police for sport. Watching our community die of fucking mystery disease whilst politicians ignored the fact that it even existed and wouldn't say the name of the disease. Fighting for the same basic legal rights as our straight counterparts and even still today, like our trans siblings being murdered at a disgusting rate. And yet people like Israel Folau and the Australian Christian Lobby think that they're being vilified because their employers have said you can't post shit about other people on social
and
media.
It's, like, it's my religious freedom.
Yeah,
like,
no, it's not. No. It's heterosexual privilege at its finest and it's
so discriminatory. Like,
it's
fuck
it's
you.
Not the same thing.
It's not at all.
He just wants it to be legal to spread hate in the way that he is.
It is.
It's
terrifying.
It's so scary.
And even if you want to get into the nitty gritty of the words that are being used, he keeps saying that it's what he believes and it's what he does in his private life and that sort of stuff. It's like, no, social media is not your private life.
No, it's not.
If your social media account has been built up because of the work you've done with Rugby Australia, then Rugby Australia have a buy-in on that social media account and they're allowed to have some influence over what's been done. Right. That's just how social media works.
Yeah.
You can go stand on the street and yell it all you like, but if social media, if your boss says you can't, then you can't.
Yeah, he literally had a job to do. He signed that he's going to do a job. He didn't do a job. He got fired. Fuck off.
Yeah.
And it's so embarrassing that it doesn't come straight to my mind, but a really good tweet that has always stuck in my head is that at its core, a lot of Australian culture has some extremely conservative, exclusionary ideologies masked by the veil of laid-back, golden-hearted, easygoing sort of camaraderie. But the numbers don't reflect that. Our legislations and our parties and our political leaders don't reflect that.
No.
And anyone that, you know, like your friend Mikey you and myself have felt in this country, that when it push comes to shove, that is not reflected. Mm. And much like in Angel, you can't always trust your perception of how things are going to go politically in this country. There is a phrase coined for this silent majority called the quiet Australians, because when it came to passing marriage equality for us, it did feel like we are in the majority. Our voices are so loud, but the people that hold these really conservative opinions and will vote on them and take action on them are actually quite quiet, and they're not speaking out in public. They are, I hate to say this, people like my mother and like my father and my family, who will shake your hand in the street and they will come to, God forbid, your wedding or, you know, they will attend and they will smile and they will vote against you.
I still don't
you.
Get it though, because we still got a 60-something percent result for us in the marriage. Yeah. That was a silent vote. They didn't have to do that.
Well,
What
is it? 64% of statistics are not
correct. Oh, boy.
Do you know what I mean? I don't. I think it's actually more to do. I do think the majority of the Australians do support LGBTI people and our rights. Mm-hmm. The problem in this situation, the money that's being raised is by that 40-whatever percent.
Yeah.
That voted against us.
Mm.
Yeah. But it's the Australian Christian. It's organizations like the Australian Christian Lobby that have major quiet donors giving them money, then can go out and print Chinese Mandarin flyers telling people that don't speak English as a second language. And they're also the people that were quietly funding social media accounts that were telling people that if you vote for Labor, you're going to lose all of this money when you die and people inherit, they're going to have to pay a death tax, which was never a thing, you know, all this sort of shit that they promote that actually has nothing to do with Christian values.
Yeah.
They do, because they're really, what all they are is a front for the extreme right.
Well, money talks. Money talks.
And it talks a lot more when you don't know where it's coming from.
Yes. And I think so many people donating have no idea.
Luke, you grew up Christian, didn't you?
I grew up Catholic.
Do you remember this? I don't know why, of all of the Bible stories, I always remember the story about Jesus going into the temple. So the temple, there was all these like people selling shit and like they were charging money to go into the temple and all this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And Jesus went there and was like, why the fuck are you doing this at the temple? This temple is a place of worship. And he like destroyed the stands and was like yelling at all the people and that sort of shit. This, to me, that I just remember that being like a symbolic memory of like what Jesus is supposed to be about. Mm. And he was like, worship God, don't try and make money. Don't try and fuck people over. Look after poor people. Be a good fucking person.
Good core values.
Which seems like a really good mascot to have. Oh, you know, you would think a religion built
general
around this guy
stuff, we like.
Would be really good. And to me, Israel Folau and the Australian Christian lobby using this argument is basically sort of the temple, and the gays in this case and our supporters are Jesus going, what the fuck are you doing using this as your way of...
Yeah.
Yeah. It's anyway, rough. That's and this is the Bible according to Thomas.
Yeah. Get yours now.
It's a strangely erotic story. Patreon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, our new merch. Thank you very much for giving us money and subscribing to our Patreon. We really do appreciate it. Tell your friends. We'll have a bonus episode, I think, nearly every week.
Yeah.
So,
and go and report the Australian Christian Lobby's Facebook page or something.
Yes,
and watch Angel Season 6.
And if you want to give money on the GoFundMe, give it to like some dying kids or something.
Yeah.
Like something actually important.
Go do the one that Magda Savansky's doing. That's amazing.
Yeah.
All
right.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
All right, so you may have been missing us this week. We didn't have a regular episode on.
It's having a little break.
We're having a little. Even God needed a break.
Yeah. Just resting my eyes.
but for our lovely Patreon members, we wanted to at least have something to share to get you through the week.
To say thank you for subscribing. We've just been out for a boozy dinner, so this is going to be fun.
Yeah, this is definitely not recorded after 3 hours.
Untucked.
Never.
We're a little bit into Pride Month, and it's a big topic that I thought we could sort of share some of our opinions about it, because for me, I think one of my main takeaways from Pride Month, it's a US-based celebration, just that we don't technically celebrate Pride Month here in Australia. But one of my takeaways from it is a time for a lot of gay men to have a lot of opinions very loudly.
More than usual.
On Twitter. More
gays
than usual.
Opinions?
What? And that to me is kind of a celebration of Pride.
Yeah.
Is being able to get on our socials.
Oh, the fact that we can chat about it.
Really spout some real beer. Get on our soapboxes for the entire month as well.
And y'all can't say shit, so.
Because this is one-sided. It's a podcast.
Proudly. I think that's a really important thing. More seriously, what I do take away from Pride Month is visibility.
Absolutely.
I think that's the key. That's the reason why we have marches. That's the reason why we have Pride Months, is sometimes we can forget that there are members of our community who live much smaller, sheltered lives than us, and that little patches of visibility can actually make or break their day. For me, I always remember many years ago not being widely out and proud. Mm-hmm. And just little things like seeing the rainbow flag sticker on a door when you walked into a business, or when I signed up for the gym for the first time, seeing that there made me realize, oh, I can breathe. Like, you literally sigh a bit, being like, okay, I'm going to be okay in this space.
Yeah.
And you just mince through the door.
In some ways, being a visible queer person is like being a walking, talking, breathing rainbow flag sticker for, you know, members of our community that may not be out and proud yet, or may not be in a situation. And I understand, sorry to ramble, but I understand that being out and proud in some ways is a privilege as well. Some people aren't afforded the sort of privilege to be as vocal and public about their sexuality as the four of us. So for me, Pride has always fundamentally been about visibility, and it's a month to be more visible than ever. Maybe in my case, be more obnoxious and loud.
Painful.
Don't know how you're going to do that.
But it's a broad topic as well. There's little things to touch on. One conversation that I think is a hot topic in this current political climate is corporate sponsorship of Pride.
Oh, yeah.
Pride Month, branded products you can buy with the rainbow flag. I think Kyle sent me one today and I'd seen it on Twitter a few times. It's Xbox's Pride controllers.
Oh, what?
Things like that.
They have it. Okay.
Apple are releasing Absolute vodka. A wristband for their watches.
Similar to the black wristbands.
And my opinion on this kind of stuff is a lot of it is clutching for your pink dollars. And the best way is if you want to support queerdom in its entirety during Pride Month is supporting your local businesses and independent artists, queer artists, and people that you legitimately know are supporting the LGBT cause. I think corporations like Xbox don't necessarily require your money and support during Pride Month.
Look, they're no PlayStation.
It's not a tough time of year for Xbox. But for your local gay bookstore or your local bar, that can make or break a month for them. So, so that is my 2 cents of that.
Yeah, this is something that I disagree with people a lot. So feel free to hate me, send me hate. But I kind of look at this corporate sponsor. Look, a lot of it's tacky.
For sure.
I totally agree. And I'm not going to go buy the Listerine in the rainbow bottle or anything like
How'd
that.
How'd you do
the sandwich? The gay sandwich.
The LGBT sandwich.
The toasted cheese. That looks not appetizing. No.
But the exciting thing is they're putting their their brand name and they're banking their dollars. This is, I mean, and maybe this is the way of working out whether or not we're winning in a capitalist world. Is when these protests were happening, when Stonewall was happening, or, you know, when you look at the Tasty Raids here in Melbourne, for a local example, or Mardi Gras up in Sydney, people literally had their names printed in newspapers and they would be fired by their employer for the fact that they were gay or lesbian or trans or bi. That was allowed to happen. And the fact that we've, in the 40 years since it was legalized in the state of Victoria and or since, you know, the first Mardi Gras up in Sydney, the fact that we've gotten to a point where companies are now willing to put rainbow shit on their Listerine bottles is sort of exciting for me, and I don't have a problem with it. It's we've basically turned it into the gay Christmas. You know, companies release a Christmas version of, you know, the Christmas Coke bottle or whatever. I know that they're doing it for money, and I know that, but isn't it exciting now that we've become such a movement that it is financially beneficial for companies to celebrate Pride with us? Now, there is exceptions to that thing. You know, I think people should still be doing a little bit of research, and if it's a bank that, you know, lends money to countries, even harder, more hardline supports countries that have corporal punishment for LGBTI people, well, then that's something we need to be concerned about. If it's an airline that flies refugees to detention camps, then that's something that we should be cautious of as well. But, you know, if fucking Hershey's want to release a rainbow-coloured poo-looking chocolate, then yeah, great.
They do look like poos. Sorry, that's what I took from that.
I think there's a fine line there, though. Like, it's about being informed and informed choices.
Absolutely.
There are circumstances where members of the LGBT community cannot afford to support, you know, they have to choose where their dollars go.
To the Gays Revolting Patreon.
And that could be a decision between a independently funded LGBT podcast or a bottle of rainbow Listerine. And it's about making the informed decision of, you know,
where your money actually
goes.
Rich
your
ears and not who we're actually supporting. Like, because that's my thing. Like, I think it is great that these big companies are stepping forward and supporting Pride Month, but at the same time, I would rather give my money to a company, whether they're big or small, that's actually giving back to the community.
Yeah,
and that's actually supporting something that the community needs. Like in America, like there's a bunch of different big companies like Bloomingdale's. They've re-released a whole swimwear line and a bunch of their proceeds go back towards like the Trevor Project and like a bunch of different like youth queer programs that I think is about 50% of their proceeds go back to that, which is amazing. And that's something that I would love to put my money towards, but obviously we don't have that here, but something here in Australia.
I was going to say, do most brands, do they have like a donation? No, so most of it's just they get most of their.
No, no, from it. No, no, no. But a lot of them do this this thing of putting their rainbow on their packaging or whatever starts from them supporting their staff. Mm-hmm. So creating internal support systems, internal policies about LGBTI people within their organization. Thinking of Midsummer Festival, I worked with Australia Post. Now, Australia Post, if you want to buy a stamp and send a letter, you don't have a choice of, you know, they're not putting the rainbows on for Midsummer Festival in Australia, which is basically our Pride Month.
Yeah.
So that you go and use their services. They are Australia Post. You don't have a choice. Mm. They started doing the visual stuff because it started with an internal program looking after their employees, because they found that of all the major organizations in Australia, they found that they had one of the lowest amounts of staff that were out in the workplace or the highest amount of closeted staff in the workplace. Forced them out the closet. Because,
how did they get those statistics?
They did a quiet survey saying, are you open about your sexuality in the workplace? And they had a huge amount of people saying no. So they were like, right, well, we need to do something about that. So they started internal stuff to support their own staff and then decided, right, well, we need to show everyone that that's what we're doing so that LGBTI people feel comfortable coming and working in our workplace.
Right.
Seek.com.au did a similar thing, and they now have stalls at Midsummer Festival and all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. So a lot of this stuff does start because, yes, they might not be donating money. And obviously, Sony or whoever it was, I don't know, you're gaming games, but they probably have the money to be doing that sort of shit. But some of these companies don't. But if they are at least creating great workspaces for their employees, I think they're deserving of putting a rainbow on their product or changing their logo for the month or whatever.
Yeah, and I think it's about being informed of the corporate environments that led to these things. People are literally marketing for our money and
know where your money's going.
It is great to an extent to know that we are a demographic that is now sought after. There's some level of sour,
but it's also they're also acknowledging that they're going to lose money from people that don't like this, which I think is really exciting as well.
But ultimately, I don't have a huge problem with it because it still raises awareness. Visibility. To see gay products in a supermarket is a pretty great thing. And I think during Pride Month, even though it's not officially here, you can start to think, what can I do myself? And a lot of these workplace initiatives Tom's mentioned do start from a single individual.
Absolutely, yeah.
And it can be as little as asking your manager or your boss, can we put up a rainbow sticker in the doorway?
Sure, yeah.
I also do a silent survey of your workmates.
It's interesting you talk about the fact that Pride Month isn't actually a thing here, and yet we are all very aware of it and we're talking about it. And that sort of shows how much this is all theoretical and has penetrated the real world, because I would say that
not a good enough reason to use the word penetrate.
but in Melbourne, this is the quietest month for gay events. We do gay events in the good weather, and this is our worst weather.
Oh, can't keep good gay down.
Well, Josh actually asked me yesterday, he's like, when is Australian Pride Month? And I was like, well, we don't have an official one, but I guess for Melbourne, like, our Pride Month is Midsummer, so end of January, February, and very start of March when Mardi Gras is on. Like, that, I guess, was
Mardi Gras is an official event on the Melbourne
calendar, because all the Melbournes go there.
Every gay bar in Melbourne closes,
One of my favourite parts of Pride Month or Mardi Gras and Midsummer for us is all the advertising from it. Like, I actually really like I call them gladverts, like the really emotional kind of adverts and like the short movies and stuff, and that they tell like queer stories.
Like coming out stories.
And like, I'm always like, just I get stuck in these YouTube holes and I just watch like so many in a row and I'm just like, I'm not crying. Like, it's so beautiful. Like that one about like holding hands. Like, have you seen that one?
Yeah.
And they always go to hold hands and then they see straight people coming and they like pull their hand away.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah. But also, and look, maybe this is why I like this sort of shit, is I remember when I first started going to Midsummer Festival 15 years ago or whatever, however long.
Jesus, I went to my first one this year.
Putting on a big coat because I didn't want to be on the tram on the way to there in my short shorts and my singlet.
You just wanted to reveal.
I was so scared. Yeah, exactly. No, but it wasn't. So, you know, Midsummer Festival, Melbourne's Gay Pride Festival, starts with a big carnival party in the Botanical Gardens, and it's massive. It's one of the biggest free events in Melbourne.
It was so much fun.
You know, you can BYO booze and lots of shit. But when I first started going, I was so scared going there because the rest of Melbourne, you wouldn't even know that it was on. No. But this year, you know, you got on your way to Midsummer Festival and you see trams, billboards with packed. Karen from Finance on them. You see trams with Dolly Diamond on the front of them. Polly Filler doing the ads for RMIT with Filmer Box and all that sort of stuff. And you're like, the whole of Melbourne is sort of celebrating that. And so if there are companies that want to put their name to it, and a lot of them, all of the companies that want to be involved with the festival have to give money to the festival to be involved, that festival wouldn't be happening without the financial donations from big corporations. Yeah. I'm fine with that. And if it's making the whole of Melbourne realize that there's a big party going on.
people there with their kids on their shoulders and stuff.
Isn't that gorgeous? Oh, yeah, it's so lovely.
Yeah. It's such a it's a beautiful time, and give us your money.
So if that inspired you, you can donate to our Patreon.
No, you can upgrade your membership in the Patreon already, to the $30.
They're already on our Patreon.
Yeah, they upgrade. You can upgrade.
They can up their donation.
Pride Month.
Or don't be homophobic. If you enjoy this episode, please encourage.
Yes.
Good job. I was thinking, what a missed marketing opportunity.
Although, as Luke pointed out, you can also maybe go and support your local businesses. You could go and check out the Hares and Hyenas Bookshop in Fitzroy, which is fantastic. You can go and check out Eagle Leather if you're into a bit of Eagle kink stuff. Leather.
Yeah.
You've also got the entire of Dalesford, basically, all queer run shops and venues. Yeah. Check all that stuff out as well.
Nice. Chuck a few dollars at a coin.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for tuning in for our little after show, even though it wasn't after another show. We are having another week off next week off the main show, but we will be releasing another after show for you because we want to look after our little Patreon subscribers.
There were so many afters in that sentence.
Oh my God. Life.
So you'll get a little after show, but all those other fuckers won't. So.
Yeah.
We'll talk to you then. Bye.
Bye. La, la, la.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.